In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Nice stretch of weather we've been having, said no one in western Wisconsin in the past week. At least not genuinely. Damp cold, on and off rain and mist, overcast skies, and here this morning we have another cloudy day. Seems we'll never see the sun. Sun actually came out at our house yesterday for approximately 12 seconds. And we joked, what's that bright light in the sky? That short glimpse of sunlight really just emphasized, almost to the point of mocking, how cloudy it's been, how little we've seen of it. Of course, afterwards, the skies went overcast again for the rest of the day. But like everything in nature, maybe we can get a spiritual lesson out of it. Today's epistle, to me, is one of the most frustrating, but at the same time, one of the most comforting epistle readings that we have in our lectionary. Paul is talking about these revelations he has of the kingdom of heaven, how he's taken into a vision of paradise. And then when he comes out of it, he says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet or beat me, lest I should be exalted. And then he says, three times I prayed God, take this away from me. Three times, take it away. And all three times, God says, no. It's frustrating. Because here we have God's chosen apostle suffering some thorn in the flesh. We aren't told what that thorn in the flesh was, but it was something at least potentially debilitating, something that Paul could hardly stand. Now, this is the same Paul that the people would touch handkerchiefs to his body and run off and heal the sick with them. This is the same Paul that raised Eutychus from the dead. This Paul prays for relief three times, and three times God says no. Now, I've been fighting this head cold all week. You know, I'm finally done at the bank and I get this nasty cold and I think to myself, really? You know, that's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about these kind of thorn in the flesh that Paul's talking about. I'm thinking of people dealing with something ongoing, thinking people dealing with something potentially debilitating. Maybe it's something physical, like chronic pain, or immunity disorders, or long battles with cancer. Maybe it's something mental, like anxiety, or depression, or emotional scars, or painful memories. Maybe it's our spiritual health. We deal with doubt, or grief, or despair, or an inability to forgive. Maybe it's ongoing family problems, or problems with friends. When I say that the epistle reading is frustrating, it's because the Apostle Paul had some thorn in his life, something chronic, something ongoing. It wasn't just a head cold. It was something potentially debilitating, and three times he prayed for relief, and all three times God said no. I want God to say yes. If God says yes to Paul, then maybe he'll say yes to me. At least that's how my mind works. So speaking figuratively, how long can one take the cloudy, misty weather? What if I were to tell you that someday you will boast about the difficulties you endure today? And I don't mean boast in the sense of, look how great and how strong I was. That's not what I'm talking about. It could be cloudy for 40 straight days. I'd hate it, but I'd know the sun was still up there somewhere. I'd know that the sun was still there. When the Allied forces were sweeping the Nazis out of France as World War II was winding down, one troop came across a demolished stone farmhouse. But on the remaining wall on the inside was painted a Star of David, you know, the Jewish star, and the words, I believe in the sun even when it doesn't shine, and I believe in God even when he is silent. God is there even when he's silent. If a Jewish family under Nazi occupation can say that, then we can be encouraged even in our most chronic our most painful situations. And when we say God is there, we're not just saying he's biding his time out there. It's not some abstract God is out there somewhere. When we say God is there, we say God is there where you are. We're saying God is in the middle of things. Even on a cloudy day, the sun is still warming the earth. And even with a thorn in the flesh, God is there. And so when I say someday you will be able to boast about your difficulties, I mean you'll boast about God. You'll boast of the way that you discovered God in the midst of your life then more than ever. Now, this is what I meant when I said the epistle is both frustrating and comforting. Frustrating is God saying no when we want him to fix our problems. But comforting because God doesn't stop at no. He never stops at no. God goes on to say, my grace is sufficient for you. In your suffering, my grace is sufficient for you. I am here with you, he says. In fact, my strength is made perfect when you are weak. My strength is made perfect when you are weak. It's when we stop trying to rely on ourselves and when we finally lean on the grace and strength of God that we truly become victorious. You know, Paul is saying, once I learned that lesson, once I learned that the chronic thorn in my flesh was an opportunity to boast of God, to boast of his grace, to boast of his strength, to boast of his power in my life, then he could see that he was able to even boast of the difficulties themselves, because those difficulties are what allowed God to exercise his power in his life. A couple of years back, I was at some corporate rah-rah thing. You know, every now and then you have an annual event to get employees re-energized. And they had a keynote speaker, and I found him very interesting and inspiring. He was a man who had not only climbed Mount Everest, he had climbed all 7 of the tallest mountains on Earth. And of course, what makes his story exciting and interesting was not how easy things were. That wouldn't be a very interesting story. What made his story interesting was how difficult things are. Excuse me. One thing I really appreciated about this fella was how much he emphasized the help of others. And there was times when he was covered in frostbite. He had actually lost part of his left hand. Another time he was hopelessly lost in a blizzard, separated from the rest of his group. One time he had suffered a debilitating leg injury. You know, all these things happened to him during these various times. And when those situations were most dire, he never said, you know, I tapped my inner strength and just tried hard. No, he speaks of others on his team saving his hind end. When things were most dire, he spoke of native guides who came out of nowhere and brought him back. And he spoke of his faith in God, that God's strength showed strongest when he was weakest. And one could argue, he chose to climb those mountains. I didn't choose chronic pain. I didn't choose mental illness. I didn't choose spiritual struggles. True. But if you argue that, you're missing the lesson. Because Paul didn't have to be a missionary. He said yes to that job when God sent him. He chose it. And still taking strength from Paul's story all these 2,000 years later. And the truth of the matter is, when you are weakest, when it's continually cloudy, when the thorn in the flesh has been there for what seems like forever, when you've asked God 3 times to take away the pain, and 3 times he said no, that's when God's strength might finally start growing in you. That's when others on your team will save your hind end. And that's when guides will come out of nowhere and get you back on course. It's in our weakness that God's strength is made perfect. Or in the words of some unknown Jewish family, I believe in the sun even when it doesn't shine, and I believe in God even when he's silent. Amen.